Today is Palm Sunday, in case you hadn't noticed by all the palm leaves and palm branches everywhere. What kind of a day is Palm Sunday? It's an interesting day because it's a celebration in a way. It's a time of rejoicing that Christ is King. But it's a day where there's a bit of a shadow over everything as well. I tried to note that by we got our celebration white, but it's still the season of Lent, the season of somber repentance. It's a season of preparing our hearts, recognizing that we are broken, and the shadow of the cross is there over everything. But today, we sing praises to our Lord Jesus. Lent is the season where we wander in the wilderness with Jesus for 40 days on his way to the cross. And we also remember the temptations that Christ faced in the wilderness. We fast during Lent, remembering that Christ was fasting during his entire 40 days in the wilderness. And then he was tempted by the devil. Right? Take this stone and turn it to bread. Jesus say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The devil also took him to the top of the temple and said, you know, the Bible says, if you throw yourself down, right, the Bible says that he won't let any harm come to his son. You could show everybody that you're the Messiah. You could show everybody that you have God's favor. Jesus replied with more scripture, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil took Jesus up to a high mountain where he could see all of the kingdoms of the world. Right? He says, all of this can be yours if you just bow down and worship. Again, Jesus conquered that temptation. Worship the Lord your God through him alone. But today, you kind of see a more tangible temptation, if that makes sense. It's one thing to be in the wilderness. It's another thing to walk into a city and have all of the people shouting your name and saying it's time for you to put on the crown. It's time for you to be king. Let's back up a minute. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he went to the town of Bethany, just across the valley. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday for those who were able to make it to prayer. And he was sitting at his friend's house, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And the Passover festival's coming, and his friends are sitting there, and I'm sure they're like, are you seriously planning on going to Jerusalem, Jesus? Right over there. It's dangerous for you to be here even. The Pharisees are out to get you, and even the Romans are starting to take notice. It's really dangerous for you to be here. And if you go there, it's all, you know, the jig is up. And Mary comes in with tears and a jar of perfume that cost a year's wages. And she breaks it and she pours it on Jesus' feet. She wipes it with her hair. And Judas gets upset because of the cost. He could have helped out the poor people with all that money. And Jesus says, hey, she poured this out for my burial. She knows what's going on. And yeah, we could have used this for something like that. But you'll always have the poor with you. You won't always have me. There is a time to pour out lavishly on your king. And Mary was doing that. But there was something different between what Mary was doing, trusting Jesus even as he was going to his death, knowing that he was doing that and saying, I love you and I adore you. And yeah, I'm trusting you through all that. To when he walked through the gate that the righteous enter. We read that psalm earlier, and I don't know if you remember it all last year. I talked a little bit about all that stuff. There's a gate that goes straight from the road from Bethany up into right near the temple, right into the courtyard of the temple. You don't have to go through any of the rest of Jerusalem. You can just go straight into it. Right, it's the gate that the righteous will enter. And Jesus goes in that way. And there are praises galore. And it is good. It is right. Jesus deserves those praises. Right? If I told them to be silent, even the rocks would cry out. Because Jesus is the true king. But the salvation that the people were looking for wasn't really the one that God had in mind. Let's look at the text real quick. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches, and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. And palm branches are the sign of victory. I don't know if you remember, you see him with the Greek or the Roman goddess Nike, right, which means victory. They would give them to people who won different athletic events. They would give them to generals and people who won battles. And Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It just means save, save us. And here in this occupied city, where the Romans were there, and the people were coming, welcoming Jesus as though he had won a military victory, shouting, save us. And they continued on, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. I mean, you could imagine this a little bit different, right? You could think of, a king of England, and suddenly somebody else starts coming into the city, and the people start shouting, long live the king, about this guy. There's bound to be some political upheaval happening, and that's kind of what's happening. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Of course, a general would have been riding his war horse after a great victory, but riding on a donkey symbolized peace. It symbolized everything's good. There's peace. There's prosperity. We don't need to fight. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after. The whole world wants Jesus to be king, and We're here saying, no, no, no. And everybody's wrong at this point. Nobody knows what's going on, right? The Pharisees are there saying, we don't want another rebellion leader like the last guy who came and brought Rome to us. We don't want, and eventually another one of those guys comes along and results in the destruction of the temple just 30 years after Jesus. So, you know, there's some of that going on. Okay, political, you know, I want to be the king with the power over us right here in this way right now, just like any other king. The Pharisees are afraid that he's turning people away from him with his teaching too. They want to be the keepers of the law. They want to be the ones to tell you how to interpret the law and say, this is the only way. Don't listen to this guy over here. We are the ones in charge of your faith, not recognizing that Jesus is the one who created them, the object of their worship. Remember, the Pharisees had made the law a false god. They had taken the law that God gave them. Remember how the people of Israel took the bronze snake that God told Moses to make for their healing, and then they started worshiping it. Hezekiah had to destroy it. God gave the people the law. And some people forgot that there was a God behind the law. But as we get towards the cross, and as Jesus is brought before the Romans, they ask him, are you a king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, you'd all be in trouble, essentially, is what he says. My kingdom is not of this world. And he does save. Hosanna! But not like you guys are thinking he's going to save you from the Romans. And he does come in the name of Yahweh, as the king is supposed to come. More than that, he is Yahweh. You think in the garden, after Jesus prayed and they came to arrest him, the guards come up. And he says, who are you looking for? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, ego eimi, I am. Right, that's me. I am. And boom, they fall back. They can't take it. He announces who he is. The great I am. You might want God to save you from something in particular, from some pit of despair that is your own. Those are hard things. And our God is a God of power, and he can. And maybe he will. But one thing that this shows us is that that's not the point. There's a bigger thing that he saves you from. There's a deeper thing that he saves you from. And even he is willing to walk through the suffering. And he's willing to walk through the false praise from everybody who's saying Hosanna, and they don't know what they're asking to be saved from. They don't know even what is the deepest thing that is on their heart. They don't know themselves that well. They think they know their own problems, but he knows what their real problems are way better than they do. And he is ready to save them from those problems. And so today, there is a part of us that knows what's going on and knows that some of those things that are hard, we will not be saved from. there's more than a sliver of hope in this. Because we know what happens after Good Friday. And so, pray Hosanna. Cry out to Jesus. Save me. And offer those things up to him. But if Christ says, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Remember that even as you carry the cross, even as you carry the suffering, even as you carry the pain, you're being saved from something bigger. And Christ is doing something more inside of you that is worth it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have saved us from sin and from death. You have saved us from fear and anguish. And Lord, you have called us, even called us to suffer for your name's sake, as you suffered for your name's sake. Lord, it is an honor to associate with the shame of the cross. It is an honor to associate with the suffering of the cross. And Lord, to be tied to your name. To be called your friend. To be called the child of God because of you. To be offered eternal life. To be offered new life and a new body and a new creation. To have that reconciliation with you, God, from what was broken. Lord, you bring peace. Peace that makes us right with you and right with one another. Lord, forgive us for the times that we look the other way, when we look for the salvation that we think we need, as though it were the only salvation. Help us, Lord, to rest in your joy, to rest in the hope that we have in you, knowing that you are our King. You come riding on the donkey of peace. And Lord, we crown you. We crown you the Lord of our hearts. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is on heaven. And we thank you that it has begun to come. It has begun to come here. It has begun to come in our lives. It has begun to come in the hearts of all who call on your name and all who trust in you, all who know that you are the Savior. You are the King. You are the one that we can put our trust in because you are faithful and good. You are full of love and mercy. And so today, Lord, we offer you our hosannas and we welcome you. Welcome you along the road of the temple of our hearts. And we proclaim your victory, even though it has not yet come in the timeline. We know that you are God. In your name we pray. Amen.